those famous home poles, brought to you by the F.W. Fitch Company, makers of Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo and Fitch's ideal hair tonic.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch shampoo.
Well, sir, it's about 2:30 o'clock in the afternoon as our scene opens now. Here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her son, Mr. Rush Gook. Fade is established in Vic's easy chair beneath the floor lamp, industriously donning gentlemen's socks. And young Rush, gelatinously athwart the davenport, munches an apple and reads a volume of fiction. Silence has prevailed for some little time, but now...
Listen to this, ma'am.
Third Lieutenant Stanley gives Lady Margaret 600 sweet little kisses.
Yes, but when he gets done doing that, he captures a desperate band of counterfeiting diesel engine mechanics. Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley carefully wiped his mouth with an expensive purple silk handkerchief and then gave Lady Margaret 18 rapid smacking kisses, immediately followed by 12 convulsive hugs. Then he fell back against the shining surface of the expensive mahogany piano and began to scream, "I love you, I love you, I love you," with the hoarse words he tore from his throat. Lady Margaret tapped the toe of her fashionable French spats with the mother-of-pearl handle of her dainty lavender parasol and pinkened. After pinkening, she winced, whimpered, cringed, gasped, and sneezed. Also, she shuddered, cowered, wept, coughed, nickered, choked, whinnied, groaned.
Oh, yes, Rush.
Beg pardon?
I don't want to hear that trash.
In the next paragraph, Third Lieutenant Stanley pounces on that crowd of counterfeiting diesel engine mechanics.
Haven't you got anything to do this afternoon?
Uh-uh.
Where are all your friends?
All one place and another. It'd be pretty boring to name off the different stuff they're occupied with. It'd bore you to listen to it, and it'd bore me to tell it.
Oh, never mind, then.
Smelly Clark is in Tawanda visiting his grandmother. Bluetooth Johnson's helping his father down at the Chicago Norton shop. Cracky Otto caught a ride up to the lake on a delivery truck. Milton Welch is mowing some lady's yard over on Mulberry Street. Leroy Snow and Goody Morris took a job downtown with a fellow that's tearing out some partitions in his store.
All right.
And George McFurcher's taking it easy at home in preparation for having his tonsils and adenoids removed next Saturday morning.
All right.
I told you it was dull.
Mm.
It was boring for you and it was boring for me.
Yeah.
Leave, I'll go outdoors and scratch my back against the rainwater drain pipe.
That won't put any special burden on your brain.
No, it won't.
You've got apple on your chin.
Yes, I know I have, but I can't reach it with my tongue.
You'll have to go through life with it on there.
Sarcasm, huh?
Yes.
On second thought, I guess I won't go outdoors and scratch my back against the rainwater drain pipe.
Oh, ish, right. You talk like a sausage.
The Third Lieutenant Stanley rolled his enormous, soft brown eyes to and fro. "Give me a couple more kisses," he bellowed. The beautiful woman shrank, quivered, trembled, stumbled, tripped, tittered, flushed, blurred,
hey, kicked,
and grunted.
Living room, kiddo.
Hi,
D.I. Got company?
Rush is here.
Oh, God.
Hi, Pete.
Poppity Wapa home at 2:45 in the afternoon.
Huh? Beautiful woman shrank, quivered, trembled, stumbled, tripped, tittered, flushed, lurched, kicked, and grunted. Third Lieutenant Stanley.
Right, I said I didn't want to listen to that trash.
Oh.
Where's your ma? Hello, kiddo. Have any phone calls?
Phone hasn't rung all day.
It hasn't, eh?
No.
I see. Okay, fine. No harm done. Not a single call all day, huh? That's unusual. Hello, Rush.
Oh.
School out early.
This is summer vacation.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, it's Friday. You wouldn't be going to school on Friday, even if it wasn't summer vacation.
Why wouldn't I?
Oh, it's Saturday I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Sure, it's Saturday I'm thinking of.
And today isn't Friday.
Today is Wednesday.
Today is Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
Is anything wrong with you, Vic?
No.
You look like you're just busting with something.
That's my eager boyishness.
Why are you home in the middle of the afternoon?
Kiddo, now try not to get excited.
Excited?
I got something to tell you. It's a secret. Rush, go to Peoria.
Peoria?
I mean down cellar. Go down cellar. Wait a minute. Never mind. You might as well know it now as later.
Eight.
I'm in Peoria.
You're in Peoria.
I'm in Peoria.
right this minute you're in Peoria?
Well, I guess I am a little flustered.
You're more than a little flustered if you've got the notion you're in Peoria.
We're going to the Peoria. The plant is going to Peoria. Moving to Peoria. The whole kit and caboodle. Plant number 14 of the Consolidated Kitchenware Company is moving to Peoria. Lock, stock, and barrel. Executives, employees, and everybody else. Did I say Peoria? It's Peoria we're moving to. Try not to get excited, say.
I'm not excited.
I gotta watch myself so I don't get excited. I guess I do feel some little twinges of excitement. But you, a woman, why, I bet you're just shaking like a leaf. Yeah, even I feel a little shudder of excitement.
I'm not shaking like a leaf, but I'm certainly curious.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Gaff.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Gaff.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Gaff.
What do they call this little game?
What little game?
This little game we're playing.
I think they call it squat tag.
You feel a little tiny shudder of excitement, Harvey.
Oh, yes, because we're moving to Peoria. You know Peoria.
Sure.
The city, Peoria.
Oh, not the motorcycle, Peoria. Yes, Vic.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop it, Vic. Goodness, you're on the point of flying apart.
Well, there's news like this coming all of a sudden out of a clear blue sky. You can't help but make a man a little tense and nervous.
Well, try and take it easy. Just stand quiet and tell me all about this news.
It's a secret.
Vic, you're not even making sense.
I mean, it's a secret for me. I mean, I'm not supposed to know about it. I mean, I managed to put two and two together and come to a conclusion. I mean, some hints were dropped. I mean, I drew some shrewd inferences. I mean... Well, here's what I mean.
Yes, tell us what you mean.
Well, I mean...
Sit down, Vic.
I prefer to stand up.
Well, at least try and tranquilize yourself.
Tranquilize myself. I must remember that in Peoria. I'll tranquilize myself in Peoria. That's not bad, is it? That's not bad neither, Wadey. I mean, it's not bad, Mad Wheeler, Haiti.
Vic, actually.
I guess I did get kind of twisted there.
I can straighten you out, Doc. You started
okay,
to say...
Okay, I got myself composed now.
Fine.
Or tranquilized, as you put it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Gus Fuss from Dubuque, Iowa, was in town today. So was Ernest Hoker from plant number 4 in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin. So was J.J. Elrod from plant 7 in Dismal Secret, Ohio. And so was H.K. Fleber from Gravelman, South Carolina. Well, those big shots were closeted in the boss's office all morning and part of this afternoon. I happened to be getting a drink at the water cooler out in the reception room when the meeting broke up. And both Mr. Hoker and Mr. Elrod nudged me and winked and whispered, "How would you like to live in Peoria?"
One interpretation you could put on that...
And a little bit later, I happened to be passing Mr. Rubish's office and heard him dictating a letter and caught this fragment. As soon as the present lease expires on this plot in Peoria, plant number 14 will take full and complete possession.
One interpretation you could put on that, Doc, would...
Well, did any of those men...
Still later, I met Mr. Rubish himself in the hall. He said...
Yes? What did he say?
I forget.
Maybe he said... Maybe he said Peoria.
He didn't say anything about Peoria.
Maybe he said...
I forget what he said. But anyway, I put two and two together. We're going to Peoria.
Well, are you happy about it or sad about it?
Well, frankly, Sade, I don't know. I'm a welder of mixed emotions. I'm not used to the idea yet. It'll take assimilation.
Uncle Fletcher, by George.
It's a secret, you know. Peoria is a secret.
You don't want me to tell Uncle Fletcher?
It's a secret.
Anybody home?
Hello, Uncle Fletcher. Come on in.
Peoria.
I've been writing a
dump box
on the garbage
rack. Hi, Uncle
Fletcher. Telephone's ringing.
I'll get it. Remember, this is a secret now.
I'm not going to tell Uncle Fletcher about Peoria.
Peoria is a secret.
I'm not going to tell him.
I believe I hear the telephone ringing.
Yes.
The tickling of the telephone. She makes a pleasant sound.
Uncle Fletcher, we're moving to Peoria.
No.
Yes. We're moving to Peoria.
Say, by George.
It's the telephone, Doc.
Yes, goodness.
Huh?
Oh, hello, Peoria. Hi there, Mrs. Gurk.
Oh, why is that nice Jack Fuller again?
Yes, ma'am, with another question.
Uh-huh.
When your hair is fragrant and sparkling clean, how do you feel?
Oh, feel fine.
And people do what?
Well...
They pay you compliments, don't they?
Well, sure.
That's why so many women use Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo. This clear, greenish-gold liquid shampoo forms mountains of fragrant lather. It efficiently cleanses away dust and unpleasant scalp odors from the hair, leaves it fresh and delicately fragrant. And ladies, here's something special. Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo contains its own patented rinsing agent. This rinsing agent goes to work right with plain rinse water to leave your hair sparkling and gleaming with natural color highlights.
You mean you don't need to fuss with special after rinses?
Indeed not. Bring out the natural luster and beauty of your hair by using Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo regularly. You'll love the way it leaves your hair so fresh, so fragrant, and so easy to manage. Ask for Fitch's saponified. S-A-P-O-N-I-F-I-E-D. Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo. Now, back again, we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Neither Vic or Sade is in evidence, but Uncle Fletcher and young Rush are seated on the davenport, and the former is holding forth on a miscellaneous subject. Listen.
Arla Dean Hogflux loved Iowa, Michigan, Missouri, and Maine, but most of all, he loved West Virginia. Arla Dean Hogflux loved Texas, Louisiana, Kentucky, Illinois, and Ohio, but West Virginia was the closest to his heart.
Arla Dean sounds like a girl's name.
Arla Dean is a girl's name.
Arla
Dean Hogflux had a warm place in his bosom for North Dakota, California, New York, and Arkansas, but West Virginia was his true sweetheart and the apple of his eye. Arla Dean Hogflux's eyes misted over with tender tears at the thought of Idaho, Oregon, New Hampshire, and Utah. But it was West Virginia that stirred his deepest emotions, and he died with the name West Virginia on his lips. Arla Dean Hogflux, one of the finest men that ever lived.
That grocery boy Irvin is getting too smart for his chance. I asked him a civil question about why was the banana he brought so spotty and mushy, and he decided to make a joke out of it, and he... Where's your father?
He went upstairs.
Oh?
Be seated, Sadie.
Oh, all right.
I was just telling Rush here about Arla Dean Hogflux.
Who is she?
Yes.
Oh.
Arla Dean Hogflux was at one time employed as armed guard at the Missouri State Home for the Poor.
That's so?
He quit that job in 1909 and went to work as supervisor of the laundry at the Ohio State Home for the Poor.
Well... What do you think about moving to Peoria?
Oh, I'm like Gov. I'm not used to the idea yet. What do you think about it?
I don't quite believe it. I mean, my mind doesn't quite accept it. I'm not convinced.
You people discussing other than Hogflux, are they?
No, we were discussing Peoria.
Peoria? Peoria. I know it well. The mighty Mississippi flows through Peoria.
No, Uncle Fletcher.
The mighty Mississippi turns through Peoria, and the rippling runnels cleaves her green back.
Very pretty, Uncle Fletcher.
Hey, we wrapped out a little bit with Lane Bain's song.
Well, Peoria isn't on the Mississippi, Uncle Fletcher. Peoria's on the Illinois.
Where did you get that peculiar notion, Rush, honey?
That peculiar notion is the truth.
I guess the day the scholars there in your school studied the subject of Peoria, the professor got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, you can take my word for it, Rush, honey.
I can take your word for it? Peoria's on the Mississippi River?
Yeah.
But it isn't.
You are contradicting the grown-ups, are they, lad?
Peoria's on the Illinois River. The Mississippi's way over west. In fact, it's the western boundary. I'll show you on the map.
Never mind, Willie. Let it go.
Yes, I and some of the other young ladies there in Dixon used to sing that song years ago. I don't recall the tune on it, but the words went, the mighty Mississippi churns through Peoria and the rippling runnels cleaves the green banks. I make my saddle horse go faster by speaking it up and hitting lightly with the leather whip on his flanks. Oh, Mary, cousin Mary, bring me another saucer of spiced cucumbers in a market basket.
Hey,
Faye,
this will need a lot of polishing, and there's a little hole near one of the latches. Do you think you could fix it, or should I take it downtown?
Is that the suitcase?
Yes.
You went up in the attic and dug it out from behind all those picture frames and stuff?
Well, sure.
Well, what's the idea?
Peoria. I'm going to Peoria.
You're not going to Peoria tonight, are you?
I don't know when I'm going to Peoria. I just know I'm going to Peoria.
Well, when are you going to find out when you're going to Peoria?
Sadie, you talk in circles.
No, I don't.
You're excited.
I'm excited.
Oh, yes.
Your question, Vic, honey, puts me in mind of Arla Dean Hogflux's cousin Ralph.
I didn't ask any questions.
That's what I say. Out of the Hogfutcher's cousin.
Oh, you criticize me for going up in the attic and digging out the suitcase when any minute I might be leaving for Peoria.
You don't know when you're leaving for Peoria. All you've heard is a vague rumor.
Vague rumor? Didn't I explain? Didn't I tell you how these big shots in the company had a meeting all morning?
Yes, you did tell that.
Vague rumor. Rats Fitch.
How was that, Gus?
What?
You said Rats Fitch.
Rats Fitch?
Yeah.
I never said Rats Fitch. I said that's Rich.
Oh,
I said vague rumor. That's Rich.
Uh-huh.
Rats Fitch, I saw, I said.
Okay.
Oh, Vic, you're excited.
All right, what if I am a little excited? Anybody be a little excited? This is a gigantic move for us. We've lived in this town all these many years, and all our roots are here.
Peoria is only 40 miles away.
All right. So Peoria is only 40 miles away. What's the difference if it's 40 miles away or 400 miles away?
People jump back and forth in helicopters these days.
Have we got a helicopter?
No, but a distance of 40 miles, it only take a few minutes to cover. Distance of 40 miles...
Look out the window by the curbing and see if there's a helicopter there.
Well, I'm only pointing out
that... Telephone the helicopter store downtown and see if we've got an order for a helicopter.
Okay,
now. No, Vic, but here's what I mean. You're liable to get sick or something if you keep on being this feverish and upset for any length of time.
Here's what I mean. Our pulling up stakes and leaving for another city is a thing of breathtaking magnitude in our lives. You don't seem to grasp that fact. We leave our home and our friends and our lodgers and cubs and 9 million other close relationships and associations, even including Uncle Fletcher here.
Good afternoon.
I'm astonished that you can sit there so sluggish and phlegmatic, kiddo. I'm astonished.
Telephone, Dan.
I'll get it. It's probably Peoria.
Well, why would it be Peoria?
You said it'd be Peoria when you answered it a while ago, and it turned out to be Michigan, Michigan from Michigan, Michigan, wanting to borrow $2.
Yeah.
Well, why don't somebody see who it is on the telephone?
You're holding it in your hand.
What?
You see who it is. You're holding the telephone in your hand.
Oh.
Recorder, you act somewhat confused.
Confused and then some.
Hello? Yes. Well, yes, I believe he is.
Sully Clark wishing to speak with me.
Somebody for Uncle Fletcher.
Telephone, Uncle Fletcher.
Yes, indeed.
Telephone.
First class, A-number-1 invention.
You're wanted on the telephone.
Well, is that a fact? I have the notion you were desirous of discussing the telephone.
Uh-uh.
Toss the half a telephone over here, Vic.
I never toss telephones.
Suit yourself. Hello?
Oh, ish, Uncle Fletcher. Go and take the telephone. I'm not crazy to stand across the room and scream.
It's impossible to hear what the guy on the other end is saying unless you hold the receiver to your ear.
Oh, there's some nuisance, I love it.
I want to get this suitcase shined up, kiddo, and this hole in it sewed neatly. And there's 18,000 other things that have to be handled. I'll make a list. Rush, go to Peoria and get me a pencil. I mean, go to the desk and get me a pencil.
Okay.
What do you want, Uncle Fletcher?
I want the non-stop telephone.
Well, I haven't got the... Oh, here.
It's not one flathead thing, it's another. Hello? What? Yes? Goodbye.
Who is that?
I don't know.
What did they want?
I haven't got the faintest idea.
Well, what did they say when you said yes?
Are you enjoying this warm weather?
They said that, and you answered yes and hung up, huh?
Of course.
I see.
Say, getting back to Peoria.
Yes, let's get back to Peoria.
Oh, Gus! You're home, Gus?
Listen.
Oh, Gus!
That is Harry Dean.
Yeah, I believe it is.
That is the voice of Harry Dean. Harry, old pal.
Hello, Fletch.
Go on in, Harry. Harry Dean, by George. Say to Vicky, honey, you are listening to the voice of Harry Dean.
I know him. He hangs around the interurban station.
There's no mistaking that voice. That voice is the voice of Harry Dean.
Now, listen, you guys. Let's not burn out everything we know.
You mean about Peoria?
Peoria is a secret.
Uh-huh.
Go right on in, Harry.
Afternoon, everybody.
Harry, old pal.
Afternoon, Miss Gook.
How do you do?
Rush house tricks.
I can't complain.
Gook, you left your interurban ticket down on the counter there in the interurban station. I brought it out for you.
Oh, I forgot about that interurban ticket.
I don't know, it's just skipped your mind. You look like you were walking around a dream.
I'd completely forgotten that ticket.
Here it is.
Oh, thanks.
You are Harry Dean.
I know I'm Harry Dean. Sometimes I reflect on that fact with mixed emotions.
Rush, honey. You are standing in the presence of Harry Dean.
Makes it nice.
Dick, what is that interurban ticket?
Oh, just an interurban ticket.
You certainly shoved it in your pocket and got it out of sight mighty quick.
Well, it's just a common, ordinary interurban ticket.
It's one-way transportation to Peoria, Miss Good.
No.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Vic, you bought a ticket to Peoria?
Well, I was kind of excited.
Rush, your father bought a ticket to Peoria.
Uh-huh.
Vic, you lie down.
No,
I mean it. You lie down.
Well,
right here on this avenue.
Oh.
Rush, trot out to the kitchen and bring me in a washcloth, a pan of water, and a chunk of ice out of the ice box. Lie down, Vic. I'm not fooling.
We'll return to Vic and Sage and Vic's present dilemma in just a moment. You know, it is often said that a product can be no better than the ingredients that go into its making. That's why only the purest and finest of natural oils are selected for making Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo. These oils are blended and saponified by a special process so that the shampoo fluffs up into a magnificent lather when you apply it to your hair. This lather cleanses your hair efficiently of all dust, oily film, and unpleasant scalp odors. Leaves it immaculately clean and sweet-smelling. And the pure natural oils in Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo protect your hair from becoming dry and brittle. Even immediately after your shampoo, you'll find that your hair is beautifully behaved. To keep hair manageable, fragrant, and radiantly clean, let the whole family use Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo regularly each week. Ask for it at your drug or toilet goods counter, or have a professional application at your beauty or barber shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H. Well, sir, as we rejoin our friends in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Vic prostrate in the Davenport, Sade contemplating him with some concern, and young Rush, Uncle Fletcher, and Harry Dean lounging beside the library table, interestedly awaiting events. Sade is saying,
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Peoria.
Yes, lying there mumbling Peoria. My goodness, go on at this rate and you'd collapse.
Peoria.
Come home in the middle of the afternoon so upset and excited you can hardly talk then. You dash upstairs in the attic and dig out your suitcase. You stop in at the interurban station almost in a daze and buy a railroad ticket. You act like you were leaving town right this minute. It's ridiculous. You know what I'm going to do?
Peoria.
I am going to call up Mr. Rubush and inquire.
Inquire about what?
Peoria.
No.
Yes.
No, you see, it's a secret. Nobody's supposed to know.
I'll say I heard a rumor and I want to verify.
Hello, anybody home? You in there, P.R.?
Somebody in the kitchen.
I know that voice.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Miss Cook. P.R. around.
That's Chief of Police Carson.
Well, come on in, Mr.
Yeah,
Carson.
Yeah, thanks, I will.
Hey, that's the Chief of Police.
Yeah.
Rick? Hey, Rush, Harry, the chief of police.
Yeah.
You heard what I said, Harry?
Sure did, Fletch.
The chief of police are here.
Hello, Miss Cook. Nice to see you again.
Well,
Rush, how's the boy? Rush. Hello, Fletch.
Afternoon, Chief Huddy, old boy.
Kind of warm afternoon.
Not at all. Chief Huddy, you know Harry.
Of course I do. How you doing, Harry?
Same old grind, Chief.
What's the matter with you, VR?
Just staying down a minute, Chief.
Is that all?
Just stretching out for a minute.
Huh. I suppose at first you're saying your last words with all your loved ones hovered about you.
Nothing like that.
Chief of Police is a witty fellow.
Oh, he's a catbird.
You are Harry Dean.
Thanks for reminding me. I forget every now and then.
That's what I say.
I got your message, V.R.
Did you?
Yeah, I found it on the desk a few minutes ago.
Well, it didn't amount to anything.
Nothing wrong, huh?
No, forget it.
Well, it kind of disturbed me. Just thought I'd look in and make sure.
Forget it.
All right. But the boys there in the office said you looked really troubled when you stopped past and left your message. They said you acted like you was walked in your sleep.
Well, I was a little preoccupied, was all.
Uh-huh.
Well, what was the message, Mr. Cullerson?
Just said B.R. Cook was anxious to see me.
We're moving to Peoria, Chief. I'm talking to the Taylor Plant 14, the Consolidated Kitchenware Company. The whole business is moving to Peoria.
The heck it is.
Keep it under your hat, will you?
Sure thing.
We're moving to Peoria.
Vic, were you so excited about what you heard down at the office that you called the police?
I wanted to talk to Chief Cullerson.
You were so excited over this news about moving to Peoria that you actually called the police?
Well, maybe I was a little bit excited.
This is almost unbelievable.
Now that there's a lull in the conversation, I'll describe something side-splittingly funny that happened to my dear chum, Arla Dean Hogflesh.
Vic, I'm going to telephone Mr. Rubush.
No.
How do I reach him?
I won't tell you.
How do I reach Mr. Rubush, Rush?
Call the plant and ask for him, and the switchboard girl will give you a secretary.
What's his secretary's name?
Edith Perrin.
Oh, thanks. May I have it quiet, please?
Well, you bet, Miss
Cook. 8956W, please. Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Rubush is going to consider this mighty, mighty high-handed, say.
I can't help it. Mr. Rubish's office, please.
Hello, old pal. Did you ever visit the northwestern part of eastern South Dakota?
No, never did.
Harry Dean.
Hello? Is this Miss Perrin? This is Mrs. Victor Algrove speaking. Yes, I wonder if I might talk with Mr. Rubish a minute if he's not too busy. Thank you very much.
Oh, my.
Hey, I'll fix you a pack of indoor horseshoes over at Ike Kneesupper's basement.
I'm on.
Time a game and a penny for ringers and leaners.
Okie doke.
Hello, Mr. Rubush. Say, Mr. Rubush, I hate to disturb you and take up your time, but we heard this kind of halfway rumor, and I wondered if you couldn't possibly... Yes. It's about the plant maybe leaving the city, and that's it. Leaving the city and moving to Peoria, Illinois.
I'll make you lads a little deal.
Your niece is on the telephone, Fred.
It's like there's always somebody on the list with telephone.
Oh, I see, Mr. Rubush. Yes. Yes, indeed. And thanks so much. I surely will. All right, Mr. Rubush. Yes. Goodbye.
Well?
The rumor is true. Plant number 14 of the Consolidated Kitchenware Company is moving to Peoria, lock, stock, and barrel.
He come right out and said that, huh?
Yes. And as soon as the lease on that property in Peoria expires, everybody packs up and goes.
See? See? I was right.
Mr. Rubush, give me the date when the lease expires.
Yeah? When did it expire?
May 11th. 1976.
No.
May 11th, 1976.
That's 30 years from now.
30 years from now. So you see, Vic, there really isn't any hurry about packing your suitcase or buying a ticket to Peoria or calling the police.
I am saying nothing.
Perhaps that's just as well.
Peoria, Peoria. The mighty Mississippi churns through Peoria, and the rippling runnels cleaves her green bay.
And so we end our visit at the small house, halfway up the next block, with radio's home folks, Vic and Save. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitch Company again presents Vic and Save. Vic and Save is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, you spit shampoo. Don't wear usual hats, save your hair, you spit shampoo.
After and between Fitch shampoos, you can keep your hair shiny and manageable by using a few drops of Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic every day. Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic is not sticky or greasy, yet it gives your hair that well-groomed look.